As you know, Commodity Classic brings together four tremendous agricultural associations. We have you folks here because of that. We also have the leaders of those four associations: American Soybean Association, National Corn Growers Association, the National Association of Wheat Growers, and the National Sorghum Producers. We have leaders of each of those here. I'm going to ask them some questions in a individual basis, and then together as a roundtable, topics that we think will be interesting to you. I'm going to start by introducing the president of the American Soybean Association. Before he was president, he served as first vice president. He's been involved in many leadership activities with that association: finance, bylaws, public policy, strategic planning. The list goes on and on. He was also involved in his state association, started in 1970 when he joined the Indiana Soybean Association, and later served as their president. In addition to raising soybeans, he's also a corn and cattle man and was involved in those commodity groups as well. In fact, in 1990, served as president of the National Corn Growers Association. He started his studies at Purdue. He then moved on to Harvard and Texas A&M. He's one of these guys that you just can't stop reading the bio, because the list goes on and on and on. Task force, study committees, groups, volunteer work. It's my pleasure to introduce from Lafayette, Indiana, the president of the American Soybean Association, Mr. Alan Kemper. Alan, how are you? How are you? Have a seat. Have a seat. Well, the first question I've got, Alan, is that, you know, I memorized these bios. I should say yours was a novel. And
do you need a hug?
You're too small. I hug large men. Large men. But the first question that would beg anyone to ask is, so who's home farming?
Hey, we have a son that's partnering the operation. He'll be here today, and probably the dogs will run it over the weekend. So
I see.
Thank you much.
I see. I assume some of these people are in exactly the same boat.
Yeah, I would say.
Well, this is a question that I'm going to ask all of you that are here today, and it's a question that I've over the course of 40 years, you see a movement in transgression. At one point in time, we were only concerned about lack of information from the American public about American agriculture. I think we've moved beyond that, and we're past lack of information. We've actually moved into category of potential mistrust and concern. And so the question simply is, what are you doing, what's the ASA doing, to enhance public trust? And then I take that a step further. What about just making the sustainability, making agriculture more productive? What efforts have you had in the last year?
Mark, the American Soybean Association feels like we have a contract with society. And in that contract, we this fall helped found and are members of the United States Farmer and Rancher Alliance. This is a network, a unified network of American agriculture organizations to reach the consumers and tell about the farmer image and reach to the public. But more than that, we're also a leadership development and spokesman training organization. So we're training people to reach back into the Rotary Clubs, the PTAs, and others to tell agriculture story. But really the main point is 59% of all soybeans are exported. We have our consumers do not end here in the U.S. borders. So we're actually in China, Korea, European Union, other countries, trying to tell them about biotechnology and the soybean traits and how that's important for the middle class in China as well as it is here.
Excellent, excellent. And I think we're going to hear probably some of the similar things from the other trade associations. Tell me about just maintaining the profitability and the production. How are you helping your soybean farmers? Let's get away from the education for just a second.
American Soybean Association really feels like sustainability of agriculture is built on the viability and profitability of the farmers. Farmers need the opportunity to operate their farms with freedoms. And we're on both of that. So we defend them in the regulation area, and we make sure that they have a chance and opportunity to be profitable.
Sounds like Congressman Lucas was a good lead-in for just what you said then.
Great spokesman for agriculture.
No question about that. Folks, we are on a limited time schedule, so we're going to bounce through all these gentlemen as fast as we can and have them together as a group. So give me a nice round of applause for Alan Kemper, American Soybean Association. Excellent.
Thanks, Mark.
Now I'm going to introduce the the president of the National Corn Growers Association. Prior to that, he served in many capacities. He too, just like Alan and the other people that are here today, not a Johnny come lately to his trade association. Involved specifically, some of his interests were a biotechnology and research and development, in addition to the traditional leadership roles. He also served as chairman and vice chairman of his state Corn Growers Association in North Dakota. He, in addition to raising corn, raises also wheat and beans. He is happily married, although his wife is not. He put it in the bio. It was just too easy to tap into. So a nice round of applause. Welcome the president of the National Corn Growers Association from Colm, North Dakota, Mr. Bart Schott.
Did you talk to her before?
Actually, Bart, that actually probably applied to most of the men in this room that have overmarried and aren't, yeah.
You know, knowing that my wife is out there, I'm not going to agree with you.
You're going to. I see why you've been married for a long time.
Yeah.
You know, it's pretty simple. I have that philosophy at home. I don't try to run her life, and I don't try to run mine. You guys want to write that one down. That's a keeper. You want to keep that one. All right. Bart, you heard the questions. I'm going to kind of throw them back at you. We've got the issue of a public trust, and we've got the issue of agriculture sustainability. Give me some of the things, particularly in the issue of public trust right now, and maybe in the education arena that you folks are doing.
Be glad to. We put together a booklet called Corn Farmers Coalition, and it's a book of facts that we hand out to industry and as well on the Hill. And so we did a message campaign a few months ago in D.C. We targeted the metro. We splashed it full of farmers giving facts about sustainability. We took family farms and put them on these great big posters and just saturated the metro to get a message across, and along with radio and television.
Now tell me, when you do that, what kind of response are you getting? I mean, if there's a scale of a total acceptance to total hostility, where are we on that scale?
We're way up high on the scale. One survey we did at National Corn Growers is that, you know, who do the people trust in messaging? And we found out that 90% of what farmers say to the public accepts and believes. And so it's a great way to message to the consumer.
Saying the best spokesman for American agriculture are American farmers and producers.
Right.
Absolutely. Now, let's kind of shift over to the sustainability issue. It's been an issue. If we do this in 50 years, we're going to have the same question. Profitability, sustainability, give me some things that have happened within your tenure to help in those veins.
You know, we're partnering up with a couple different ag groups to promote that, and one is U.S. Soybeans about a program called Common Ground, where we're training and educating and promoting farm women to do the messaging to their counterparts in the city. It's very effective. It's a pilot program. We're conducting it in 5 states right now, and we're behind that 100%.
So what you're saying is that people would prefer to listen to women over us. That's what you're saying.
It's a pilot program.
Good job.
That's it.
Bart, I'm going to tell you, you do not have a career in politics. There was a better answer, but no, I understand.
Okay.
Exactly what you're saying. All right. Folks, a nice round of applause for Bart Schott.
Hey, good job, Donna.
It's now my pleasure to introduce the president of the National Association of Wheat Growers. This gentleman, extensively involved like the other guys, I don't have enough time to go through the entire list. Finance, environmental issues, biotechnology, he's been involved in every level and extensively involved in his state association as well. In fact, this would be the best way to sum it up. He held every leadership position, every officer position within the Kansas Association of Wheat Growers. He is an agriculture economics graduate from Kansas State University, America's premier university. Oh, I thought we were all Kansans. No? He, like I, knows that in Kansas there are only 2 schools, Kansas State University and Sunday School. In addition to raising wheat, he also raises sorghum and corn and beans. His middle name could be leadership. I could explain all the stuff outside of commodity organizations that he's been involved with. Farm Bureau, Conservation, Extension, his local co-op board, the list goes on and on. married with children. Please welcome from Woodston, Kansas, president of the National Association of Wheat Growers, Jerry McReynolds. Jerry, how are you? Have a seat.
Good store.
I took the abuse of the crowd for the K-State stuff for you.
That's okay.
You understand that.
That's all right.
Yes.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Well, we're getting into the tail end. We've got to be not redundant, but still provide additional information. I'm going to ask the same questions I ask you. Let's just first talk about the public trust and getting the public on our side and educating the public. Tell me what NOG's up to there.
Well, we're working on that. Communication's a big part of that. And we try to work to tell our story. It's not always easy for us to do as producers. We tend to be a little more quiet. We need to tell our story very factual, very honestly, and we try to do that. We're working at that.
Yeah, and I just mentioned to Bart, you're getting a positive acceptance generally. Are there still hostile corners? Are we making inroads? Are we not? What's your feel on that?
Well, the feeling's been good. We're generally well accepted, much to our surprise sometimes, but we're well accepted. People apparently want to hear our story. And there's a lot of people out telling our story, a lot of groups, good intentional folks, but it's not our story unless we tell it.
And then the second phase of that, let's talk about efforts from NOG to support, promote sustainability of agriculture, profitability of these people that are in the audience. Any specific endeavors there that have been under your reign?
Well, we continually work on all kinds of areas of policy. Regulations that are undue and are feeling sometimes unintended consequences, and sometimes they may be intended consequences. It's important for us as wheat growers to be able to work in an environment that's not overly regulated. We have a great regulatory system in this country, but we have to be careful that we don't overdo.
And Congressman Lucas talked about that as well.
He did.
What's your feel there? Are we making progress there? Are we up against the wall? We've got obviously us talking. We've got people like Congressman Lucas. Are we making progress there? Are the regulators starting to see and hear our story?
Congressman Lucas is with him, and I believe that if we just keep telling our story, we'll get it across. We met with Secretary Vilsack just a little bit ago. Said the same thing. We've got to tell our story.
All right. Ladies and gentlemen, President of the National Association of Wheat Growers, Jerry McReynolds.
Thank you.
You're good.
Good job. Well, you're a jokester, man.
And finally, I'd like to introduce the Chairman of the Board of the National Sorghum Producers and my foil from last year. The enlightened and exciting and entertaining banter between he and I'm sure, is what brought most of you back. Okay, maybe not. He is chairman of the board of the National Sorghum Producers, and like these gentlemen, involved in many, many levels and for a long time in his commodity organization. In 1999, he was first elected to his board of directors and has now serving as chairman. In addition to being like these gentlemen, farmers raised on a farm, currently farming, he also is co-owner of Twin Valley Mills, which is a sorghum flour mill, and also they are a source for food-grade grain sorghum. So, from Ruskin, Nebraska, please welcome Mr. Gerald Simonson. Hi, Gerald. How are you?
Good to
have
see
a seat.
You.
Have a seat.
Welcome.
All right. Did you miss me?
Oh, yeah, every day.
You want a hug?
No, don't think so.
I'm going to pass on that. We've got a big stage. We've got plenty of room. Anyway, good to have you back, and we put you in the unenviable position of being a fourth in a row. Ask the question that's been answered three times, so your challenge is to provide some new information, not be redundant, and if you do, you will come off brilliantly. If you don't, this is probably your last chance on stage. So. But anyway, so the question, quite honestly, is you may see that as a good thing. I don't know. Public trust, public education, how do we enhance that public trust? Tell me about the sorghum producers and what they're doing.
Well, you know, like the rest of the group, at the risk of being redundant, we support the Farm and Ranch Alliance, many other groups. There's a lot of programs and a lot of good things that are going on right now. FFA is one of the wonderful programs that, you know, tells our story. What we've found and what we've learned is the people who know us love us. The people who have problems with us don't know us, and that's what we have to do. We have to let people get to know us. And It's the responsibility of the associations and leadership to do that, but we can't do it alone. So what we have to do is we have to train, educate, and groom our new leaders and our next generation to get them out there and have them get to know our consumers. Know your food, know your farmer, one at a time. That's the way it works.
And of course, you mentioned something close to my heart with the FFA. I still stay in touch with my home chapter back in Kansas. And did I mention I was from Kansas? Did I mention that? And the ag teacher there, of course, is a former classmate of mine. He's got more non-ag kids now involved, and they do everything from kiddie barnyards to educational programs and so forth. And I think you've hit it right on the head. We can't start when somebody is 50 or 60 trying to educate them. The earlier, the better, and those programs obviously do that. And I'm going to ask the same question I asked these guys. Are we making progress? Do you feel like we are getting accepted? Are they listening to us? Are there some corners where we have a lot of work to do? Are there other places where we're doing well? What's your general take on that?
Well, I think we're doing well. The big problem is our detractors have a head start on us. And those people are very committed. You know, we are out there with our shoulder to the wheel, and sometimes we need to pick up our heads, look around, and get out and do things that, you know, we normally don't do. Get out of our element. I don't know about the rest of these guys, but, you know, sitting on a stage in front of a whole lot of people is not something that comes easy to me or something that I do every day.
Which I'm glad. I don't want you guys to get good at this because I lose my job. That's bottom line. I'm selfish. That's the way that it works there. So, all right. Well, now let's jump into the production agriculture sustainability. We've got to keep these people. If we don't have them operating in a viable economic environment, we don't have a story to tell. So tell us some of the progress and some of the activities the sorghum producers are involved with.
Well, you know, ethanol is huge for not only sorghum but all the groups here. You know, the 900 programs, you know, our group has worked very hard to keep those out there, the incentives to ethanol. Maybe there's room for improvement there, but right now that industry needs our help. It needs some support. I hope when we get into these budget constraints and these things that are happening, you know, dollars are going to drive all the debate. Yep. And I hope that, you know, people don't make rash decisions and throw away something that's very good. And you know, take time to work through it and look for improvements.
Yeah, this is going to be a tough prioritization process, as Congressman Lucas mentioned. So, nice round of applause for Jerry Simonson, our final panel member. Now, that was easy. That was easy. Now, what I'm going to do is I want to throw something out here that one of the if there is a slap in agriculture and commodity organizations is because we represent so many different people and different factions. We have different priorities. How do we work together? How do we come together on policy, regulation, et cetera? So my question to you is, as a farmer-based commodity organization, how are you working together? What are you doing to promote each other and not become a single entity? Are there collaborative efforts in force?
There certainly are, and we're working on that. And we've been working on that. We just met yesterday around the table, all talking about policy, our policy, individual commodity policy, and then general farm and ag in general. And it's extremely important that we do that. It's a good thing that we're doing that, and we're making progress. We have a lot in common. We have more in common than we have do not.
Absolutely.
And so we have to pull together. We're doing that, and, you know, we're not perfectly there yet, of course, but because we represent different commodity, but in general, we can agree an awful lot of policy, and we do.
Very good.
Not only that, we reach out to the general farm organizations as well as a lot of non-traditional ag organizations, American Farmland Trust and others we have dialogues with. These fine gentlemen and ourselves and our trade associations meet multi times during the year to talk about farm policy.
Yeah.
So we stand united on maybe 80 to 85% of it. Where we disagree, we don't disagree in public. And I think that's huge, and that's telling our story in the right way.
One thing that all four commodity groups agree on here in this convention is biofuels. Mm-hmm. And what we have to do to support that and keep that industry going, because we know that it's a backbone of rural America. And so whether it's out of corn or sorghum or cellulosic, we're all on the same page there.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, Jerry and I are prime examples. We grow all four commodities that are raised here. You know, Alan, I mean, he practices crop rotation not only on his farm, but in organizations. So,
He'll be back next year.
You knew that was coming.
Gerald, I hate it when the panel members are funnier than I am.
You got to take it up.
Yeah. I need to try that sometime, yeah, I suppose.
But at any rate, you know, trade, ethanol, crop insurance, you know, all these things are common. Mm-hmm. You know, we joke back and forth. We kid with each other. We're friends. Yeah. You know, he said something about just met. Well, we've known each other for quite a while in a lot of cases. So I think that's one of the things. The unity is there. The problem is sometimes we let politics and things get out that aren't true.
Well, quite honestly, if you look at your members, most of your members... Many of your members have sorghum and wheat and beans and corn, and so it would make sense that we have a strong collaborative effort. There is, however, obviously going to be times when there are elements of disagreement. I mean, what's that old adage? If you disagree on everything, somebody's unnecessary. And I'm not going to point out which one of you guys it is. But so this is my next follow-up question. We're doing better. What do we have down the road? Are there any things on the table, anything in the future, more collaborative efforts that you can maybe enlighten the crowd on with regards to working together? Or is it just an additional push of what we're doing now?
Well, Farm and Ranch Alliance was already mentioned.
Right.
And that is not policy, but that is image of agriculture, right, of all of agriculture. It's going to be, I think it's going to have a great benefit.
Yeah. Excellent.
I think telling our story to the consumer, just like you said. But for so many of us, exports are so important.
Right.
Biotechnology traits are so important to them. Feeding the hungry of the world in 2050. We have a common theme here and a common need to meet that hunger and nutrition needs of the world. And we work together on a lot of that. On common grounds, for one, with the USB and National Corn Growers doing a good job, about spokespeople. Want to commend them for what they do.
Part of getting grassroots to speak up is doing a social media training. And we're involved in that. And you know what? When you get a guy to come to one of those training sessions, guess what? His wife comes too. And so it's a family effort. And that's going real well out in rural America.
Well, you know, moving into farm bill debate and so on, I mean, we're all talking within our own groups, and then we're moved together, and we put that out. So, you know, just the communication, I think now it's probably better than it's been in past years. Mm-hmm. I think the organizations have realized that, you know, we have to work together.
Absolutely.
So, Mark, I would also suggest that at the end of the day, when these presidents and myself leave, our main goal is to make sure agriculture farmsteads have a transition to the younger generations. And whether that's making sure the 1099 is repealed or making sure estate taxes are eliminated or lowered, us as a group need to have collective efforts in making sure that farmer ranch is into the next generation.
Absolutely. And that's not selective just to one commodity group. No. That's everybody across
the
board.
Exactly.
Absolutely.
Farm
and that's
bill is real important to encourage our younger farmers to stay there and to give them a future as well.
Absolutely. And that's an excellent point to end on. We talk about the future of American agriculture, and it is on the next generation coming up. Ladies and gentlemen, these people serve, breathe, and live American agriculture, not just their commodity group. Give all of them a nice round of applause for their support.
Thank you.
Thanks so much.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Appreciate it.
Thanks for being with us. Thanks. Great job, guys. Great job.